buildings. President Joel, you know.
Hopefully Monday we'll catch up and try to make bigger strides to the bigger topic of Birchas HaMitzvah, and both in terms of its relationship to other brachos, as well as again the types of mitzvos, you know, reflected by the different mischos, which we began with already, but according to the various you know, criteria that the Rishonim present. So for today, let's just go back a little bit, probably won't finish this today either, but and talk a little bit more about Bedikas Chametz, which is something that we've had many opportunities to discuss. But which, you know, also can be understood better, more extensively, through this topic as well. As we already noted, the Rishonim, pointed out that which is obvious, and that is that when the Gemara extends the principle of Birchas HaMitzvah to Bedikas Chametz, that is anything but obvious. And the reason so is because we know that there are plenty of performances, mitzvos, which don't occasion a bracha. Don't occasion a Birchas HaMitzvah. There's a whole literature on this question. As we know, again, in the beginning of last year when we started discussing the mitzvah of Shechita, so we had occasion to look at the famous tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, you know, to the Rabbi Abad, that whole exchange. And of course, there's a whole literature connected to that. When do you make a bracha? When don't you make a bracha? In addition to the question of nuschos, you know, what about ben adam lamakom, ben adam lachavero, you know, distinctions, isurim, you know, kiyumim. Of course, drabanans and daraisas is something that the Gemara already contends with in Masachet Shabbos, when the Gemara speaks about the bracha on Neros Chanukah. Right, you know, Heichan Tzivanu, like how can you say Birchas HaMitzvah on something which is Midrabanan? Of course, that's relevant, certainly to Bedikas Chametz as well. Then the Gemara has two answers, right, Shalavicha and Lasasur. But, you know, the question of Mevarchen Ala Minag is a huge discussion in the Rishonim about, you know, Arava, Chibud Arava, and of course, what about Hallel? You know, on the second day, that, you know, is also a massive discussion. Bali Tosis and Brachos, and Rishonim and Arve Psachim, right, to weigh in on that, you know, question, Halal on Rosh Chodesh, and Halal on Chol HaMoed of Pesach, issues like that. So when you do and when you don't make a bracha is obviously always a, you know, two-sided question. You know, what are the criteria, what determines objectively, and of course the applications and assessing them. And of course, you know, like many other things, you know, the way that the, you know, klalim, you know, emerged was some sort of combination of, you know, both of those things. A particular Rishon of Posek had, you know, a strong conviction about one of these questions, and that led him to conclude, you know, something about the second question. And frankly, I'm guessing, but I think it's intelligent speculation, you know, that in some cases it was, you know, question number two, you know, where the conviction was stronger and that, you know, dictated, you know, an assessment of the criteria for Hilchos Brachos more generally, question number one. And in other cases, it went the other way. You can actually see this very clearly, right, in the Rishonim, you know, whether it's in the Tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat or the, you know, everything that came after it, you know, you can definitely see that sometimes the assumption is about, you know, Hilchos Brachos, and then the conclusions or the chidushim or the reconstructions, you know, end up in terms of individual applications, or sometimes, you know, in the other direction. So this is, you know, all this needs to be put in context. So, of course, once, you know, this is the main Gemara, and this Gemara here in Tachim is the main Gemara. It's the locus classicus of the question of Kol HaBrachos, Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchem Aleihem, you know, Ovelasi Yasan. This is where the Gemara says it most explicitly. And of course, the whole discussion about the Nusach, which we started discussing and which we'll, Yirtz Hashem, continue with on Monday, all of that also, you know, is from this, you know, from this sugya. So the fact that it all surrounds, you know, Bedikas Chametz, you know, itself, you know, establishes, you know, Bedikas Chametz, you know, in the spotlight here. And it's not obvious at all. So Bedikas Chametz is a Daraisa Drabanan, but Pashtus were speaking certainly about the ones that are also Drabanan. The Gemara says explicitly Bedikas Chametz is, you know, Drabanan, the Gemara Dalet Amud Beis, when there's Bittul, and no one says this Gemara is speaking, you know, in the absence of Bittul. So we're certainly speaking about Bedikas Chametz Drabanan. That there is also a Bedikas Chametz Daraisa is something that we know, you know, probably Shitas Rashi, certainly the Shita of the Chachmei Svarad, who defend Rashi, you know, that might be relevant, not to solve the problem, but you might say that that's kind of a little what we're discussing anyway, that, you know, if there is a Doraisa, Bedikas Chametz, so then even the Drabanan is maybe, Kein Doraisa. That depends also on, you know, whether the Bedika with Bittul and the Bedika without Bittul are the same, you know, Chalos Mitzvah. But if they are, you know, so there's at least a Kein Doraisa. And if not, or if the, you know, Bedika Doraisa is disconnected qualitatively, characteristically, from the Bedika Drabanan, so then this idea that, you know, that you require a Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, for Bedika, which is, you know, Drabanan, you know, becomes important in establishing, you know, that Drabanans require Birchas HaMitzvah, but that already is established, as I say, in Neiros Chanukah, the way the Rambam formulates it in Hallel, you know, in Hilchos Chanukah, Rambam quotes, I mentioned this around Chanukah time, quotes the issue of making a bracha on something that is Drabanan or Divrei Sofrim, not in connection with Neiros Chanukah, but with Hallel. And we'll discuss that in the context of Chanukah, why that might be. But either way, it's okay. So Bedikas Chametz as well. However, it goes to something we just touched on. It's not, you know, merely the fact that it's a Drabanan, because that we have the Gemara in Shabbos, so we have the Gemara in Sukkah. We have other evidence of that. But then the question is, what kind of Drabanan? And that's where, you know, the Rishonim here are helpful. We'll, you know, exhaust that right now. But we already mentioned last time the language of the Ritva. If somebody could get the Rosh and the Ran open just for a second. But the Ritva we mentioned. In other words, this is true, you know, about the Mitzvos Drabanan, you know, because they're more likely, you know, to be a siag. But in a way, as we'll discover, it's relevant to Doraisas as well. What is the nature of the mitzvah that we are talking about? In other words, a mitzvah, which is, you know, standalone, we'll say it this way, which is standalone, which is an inherent mitzvah, which is a kiyum, you know, that should require a bracha, a birchas hamitzvah, you know, that's very understandable and very reasonable. Right? But what about a mitzvah, you know, which is only a siyag? Right? Even daraisa. And of course, kol shekein, it's more of a chiddush, if it's only drabana. And what about, even if it isn't a siyag, let's say it's a negative, you know, it's closer to neutralizing an iser than it is to fulfilling a kiyum. Does that kind of mitzvah also require, you know, a bracha? Right? Even if it requires a positive action as opposed to abstaining from a maisa avera, but in the end of the day, right, is that the kind of thing that we associate, maybe the kiyum component, as opposed to simply neutralizing an iser or strengthening, you know, an iser, maybe that's, you know, part of the criteria, the you know, prerequisite, you know, for birchas hamitzvah. That's something to think about. Or, let's say a third issue, and that is a hechsher. That's why when I was presenting the pashut, obvious candidate for Birchas HaMitzvah, I said, something which is intrinsic, it's standalone, it's clearly a positive. But what about, let's say, something that's not a siyag, and it's not a negative, it's not neutralizing the problem, or, helping to avoid an iser, but it also isn't a standalone. Let's say it is a hechsher, for something else. It's something that is a hechsher, something that requires a birchas hamitzvah, or not. That's a very legitimate question, and it could apply, to other things as well. Everybody knows the famous debate between the Rambam, and the Rosh regarding kiddushin, right? Whether it's a birchas hamitzvah or not. The Rosh's view that it's a birchas shavach v'hodah. Because basically the Rosh says it's a hechsher for period rivya, and a hechsher mitzvah should require pruvu, or maybe it isn't even a mitzvah at all, right? Maybe it also just avoids isurin. So this idea that there's some question mark about hechsherim, a question mark about negatives, and certainly a question mark about, siyagim. These are legitimate issues which need to be pursued in the Rishonim and the Poskim, and all of them are relevant to Bidikas Chametz, right? Because we know that there are those who think Bidikas Chametz is just a siyag bi'alma, a siyag of achila, malitosis. For them, if there's going to be a bracha, then we need to wonder, whether or not is a bracha on a siyag, as long as it, is formulated, in a proactive kumbase way, or not, across the board. Or, is it possible that, the siyag part isn't the whole story, and if it were just pure siyag, then that would be the position that we would take. Similarly, we'll get to each one in just a second, the negative part, right? Is Bidikas Hametz merely, for the sake of Didrabanan or whatever, Didrabanan, let's assume for the moment, which is intended, right, to negate the Hametz, right? So, in a negative way, to prevent, let's say, Bal Yiroa Bal Yimatze down the road, or something like it. Or even if it's if it's mostly a negative, does that require a bracha, or does it need to be more than that? So there are two things at stake here: our assessment, as well as our assessment of Bruptika, as well as our takeaway regarding the criteria. And what about a hechsher? Again, it could be a siyag against achila. It could be, a way of displaying and demonstrating our disdain for chametz. That's the negative part, let's say. And it also could just be a hechsher for the mitzvah bir chametz, for tashbisu. All these are good reasons to think, that bidikas chametz would not require a bracha. Okay, so when the Ritva uses the language, the ein habedika ella betikun vehechsher, right? He's focusing on one aspect. The alfagav the vaday betika min haTorah. That's the same bechudash. The yeshna bechlal hashbasa, the lasagi v'lavachi. It's part of seeing it's a hechsher. Mikamokom kasokadaitach shlo yivarech ella b'shas habir. That also raises another question. Right, in addition to siyag, something which is fundamentally, a negation, hechsher, what about a situation where you have multiple stages? Right, you have the beginning of a process and the end of a process. And is there a difference between, a process which has a beginning and an end, and something which has two distinct stages? Right. That's also a question. So Bidikas Chametz, in addition to the other things we just mentioned, even if you were to see it, in context of Biur, there's this question, you know, when's the most appropriate time to make the bracha? And that, of course, has other parallels. Like, again, I mentioned Ishus before. Ishus is seen by some as a heksher. And Ishus is seen by some, you know, as an isarasei, you know, if anything. Two good reasons not to have a bracha. But Ishus is also seen, you know, not just as a heksher for period Berivia, but maybe as the beginning of a process which concludes, of course, with Nisuin, and especially if you think that the Nisuin part is Ikar. So even if it's, you know, two stages, you know, which is the appropriate time for the bracha? You know, second, the first, either? Does it depend on the particular two-stage, you know, process that we're talking about? There are some Rishonim who interpret some of the Chachmei Svarad that the, you know, everybody was troubled by the Birchas Eirusin and the fact that the Nisuin part is mentioned prior to the Eirusin, right, both in the text. You know, Vitzivano al Arayos, Vasar Lanu es Arusos, right, Vihito Lanu es Hanesuos, Lanu Aide Chupa Vikidushin, and again, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Aide Chupa Vikidushin. So in a way, two times, you know, we mention chuppah prior to kiddushin. But some of the Rishonim, there are all sorts of answers for that question, but some of the Rishonim say, because really this bracha is on the chuppah, just that, you know, there's a two-stage process here. So we make the bracha, you know, prior to stage one. But what we're saying right away is that what we're really interested in is the totality of the mitzvah, and especially if it's ikar, the second part of the mitzvah. Okay. So this idea that, you know, bedika, both from a siag, from an isa, again, one of the things the Rosh says about kiddushin is that the emphasis of vitzivanu al arayis v'asar lanu es arusas is a good reason why it's not birchas hamitzvah, frankly. It's also well explained as birchas shevach v'hodah. So two things happen, you know, for the Rosh. But these are paradigms. Again, when we discussed chulin, you know, one of the things we were discussing again was what kind of bracha is it that we make? And to what extent is shkita, you know, a chiyuv, you know, whether kant imirtze, let's call it, a kiyum, a rishus, or again, the negation of the iser of nevela or of Eber Menachai, you know, or both. And that, you know, is going to go far in determining, you know, what kind of bracha we're talking about. Okay, so, yeah, so here the I just wanted to point out, if you look at the various Rishonim, I don't want to spend so much time because I only have a couple more minutes, and I do apologize. But looking at the Lishonos and the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim make note of the Chiddush in Bedika, or the Kasolka Daitach in Bedika. And it's just interesting, what I'm trying to say is, it's interesting to see what it is they emphasize. And in the case of the Ritva, it's in the beginning it's the Hechsher part, it's even though it fits Min HaTorah, because the fact, again, the fact that it's Drabbanan in B'dikas Chametz in this particular case, the Drabbanan isn't here nor there because of the Tzivanu and the other Gemaras that I mentioned. But the Drabbanan may very well be relevant to characterizing, you know, what Bidikas Chametz is. That we're more familiar and comfortable with, you know, siyagim, you know, that are drabanans, right, than deraisas. I mean, we've shown this year, and, you know, it comes up, you know, now and then, that there are, according to some Rishonim, a concept of siyag deraisa too. Some people think that's Balyura, and some people think that the Isser of, you know, Chibuk v'Nishuk and Erba. There are many, many issues I don't want to get into. But of course, you know, the likelihood that you're dealing with a siag is multiplied, you know, manifold by being a Dindrabana. The likelihood of something being a Hechsher, there are Hechsherim d'Oraisa, for sure. And again, maybe even Kedushin is one of them. But the idea of a mitzvah being a hechsher is, you know, is increased certainly by being a drabban. So some of the things that the Ritva being comfortable with saying that Bedika is min haTorah and yet saying it's tikkun behechsher is interesting. Did everybody get the language of the Rosh and the Ran? Just you have it there, Yonatan?
I'll feel it.
What? I think so. Sounds all right. Just like a line or so where you just.
So the Rima Farish, the Ain Limpo to Nashim, and the Rafa Sakhar to be a little Kodam, gave on the Ika, the low Mats of the Farish, Ad Lahar to be a little Kodam. The high time and now me shy of the Kodam. Janel the Lavarish Akhar and Tila, but the Isha Vaboker, Giada Mulukapos, low Mats of the Bruhe, Ad Akhar and Tila. The calf now the Lavasos came after the Tila to Susan. Oh, each time Akhar.
Now, I was interested in the part, and I'll get to all that, but in the beginning when he talks about Bedika, I just thought it was just interesting that he emphasizes things differently than, yeah, I'll get to that other part. It's all relevant, but yeah, you have that in the beginning of the piece?
Yeah.
Ah, so that he doesn't say hechsher, and he doesn't say siag. But what is he saying? That it's not a kiyum; it's a minias ha'isa, right? And the Ran, do you have language? Anybody open the Ran? Yeah, I don't want to do all of them, but yeah, go ahead. Oh. So he's not even saying hechsher. He's saying atala. So I said, I was trying to show you that even in these three, and there are more formulations that we have, we're emphasizing three different points, each of which may be characterizing, but in a questionable way, because they will say that's not true, that bedikas tchilas biur, and it's not true that bedikas a hechsher lebiur. Those are two different things, and maybe it's not true that bedika, is a siag, right? So either way, depending on what you say and how you understand all of this, the conclusion to be reached is either that Birchas HaMitzvah are quite wide-ranging, even with some of these chisronos, even with some of these, characteristics, or that our assessment of Bedika is quite different. So as an example of that, let's go back to, for a minute, let's take Tosis on Siag. Right, Tosis definitely says on Beis of an Hour that Bedika Schabetz is a Siag of Achila. Right? And yet, anybody? Zeb? Simcha Leib? Josh? And yet, all remember, hopefully fondly, the view of Tosis on Dalin or Menalef. Josh is nodding. Namely?
Tosis says, even though what we would have expected at the Maskir.
In the Sokar Maskir Sugya, we would have expected that if Tosis really thinks.
It's all about who's going to run and count the Hamis, so it should be for sure the Sokar. Tosis says, maybe.
The Sokar is the guy who has the Siag of Shema Yochal, right? Yeah, go ahead. What does Tosis say?
So, because about the Maskir owns the Hamis, so maybe he would be the one.
If the Maskir has the initial Chiyuv, for 10 minutes, even though we're not at the 10-minute mark anymore, right? We were now well past, this Socher's, tenure, in the house. So who cares that he had the Chiyuv for 10 minutes? Right now, the Bedika, he wasn't staying for Pesach even then, frankly. So it's, you wonder why he might have even had the Chiyuv. Unless you want to say some, rhapsodic, call Yisrael our ravens, Elazek kind of a thing, which is a good thing to think about. I'm not sure if that's what's going on here. But even if there was, so okay, good. So now there's a new reality. You know, and the question right now is on Milivdok. So what does it imply?
I think we explained then that even though Tosfos initially being in the Septa says that the reason for the Tika starts off is that the technical Dindrabanan, once it's been metakin, it gets a new life of its own, something more fundamental.
Exactly. And Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, I think, is, you know, even much more explicit about this. I don't think it's obvious. I don't think you need to say it. There are other ways to explain, you know, the Socher Masker Sugya, as we know. But that's a great example of, you know, maybe the conclusion, you know, that, you know, that it's Siag on one level, but it's not only Siag. It was formulated as more than Siag. Had it remained only Siag, maybe it wouldn't get a bracha either, right? Good. So, I don't have so much time, so this question of, you know, of the bracha, you know, then, you know, if we assume that, you know, not everything goes, but that, you know, you have to have some, you know, stature, wherever we draw the line, you know, whether it's a, you know, beyond the siag, beyond, you know, negation, beyond a hechsher, you know, or what about a tchilas ha-tahalich, whatever it is, do you really also, you know, need to go much further? Could you go much further? Of course you could, in Bedika, in Bedika Doraisa, and in Bedika Darabana. As we've seen, it could be a, you know, a kiyum and a chalos and a bias, right? You have to turn your home, that's certainly a kiyum, that's something positive. It's not just to make sure there's no chametz in your home, it's to turn your chametz, your place, your home, into a chametz-free zone. Right, that's a transformation. That could be a subject to a bracha, or a chovas agavra. But instead of looking at it as a negation, like, you know, to do this to make sure, or to make sure that there's no chametz yadua, you can turn those into positives, meaning, you know, you are obligated to kind of publicly, demonstratively, you know, begin the process of rejecting, you know, chametz. You know, that's different than making sure it's not there so you can violate it, you know, even if it's more than a siyad. So, you know, when you do bedikas chametz, you're making a statement about the transition and about the toxicity of chametz in this period of time. So whether it's, you know, the chefza shabayis, there'll be other nafkaminas, but, or the, you know, kiyum agavra, you know, maybe it's even the beginning of kiyum tashbisu, but not in the sense only of, like, this is like an heksha way, like this is the beginning, you know, if you don't search, you won't find, if you don't find, you can't burn, you know, not in that sense, but in the sense of, you know, so, you know, if you find it, you burn it, you know, not just to get rid of it, but to make a statement about it. And searching, you know, the seek, you know, and destroy part. The seek isn't just l'shem destroy, you know, or seeking so you can destroy already in the seeking, you know, is a statement. That's a key. So if you look at B'dikas Chametz that way, oh, that deserves a bracha. You know, Doraisa, or whether it's Doraisa or Drabana, either way, that's a key. You know, so, So once that is the case, so then the breakdown between different bedikos, you know, scenarios, you know, takes on a whole different, you know, life. In other words, bedika kodam lamed yom, bedika toch lamed yom, you know, in situations where you're returning, or you're not returning, situations where you're obligated, put it that way. Kodam lamed yom is when you're returning. Right, lachar lamed yom, or within lamed yom, even if you're not returning, right? And what about, as we discussed, you know, leil, you know, leil yadal? We know that's the preferred, you know, bedikas chametz time. But what about leil yud gimel? And what about, you know, yom yudalid? And then what about toch hazman? And especially, what about la'achar hazman? So all that, you know, becomes... We know that you're supposed to do bedikas chametz in all those times. Right. No?
You can ask about that.
Sure.
According to everyone?
Yeah.
I'm Rashi, not everyone
thinks. So, but the question is whether you make a bracha.
No,
I'm
not even
okay. I'll say according to the, you know, the Rishonim would think that, you know, that that's what Lachar's Man means. But, right. But let's assume, I'm assuming according to those where there is a Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz, in all these cases, there's controversy about the bracha. So, it's possible, you know, that part of this controversy is because, you know, what remains of the Bedikas Chametz, you know, of Yom Dalet, Ba'erev, you know, in these other cases. You could have said, you know, that if you really need like a maximal, you know, mitzvah kiyumis, then maybe that's only on the El Yadav. You know, that's when it was formulated, you know, as like the Rambam, you know, formulates it very strongly as Midivri Sofrim, O Shmarta Masayom Azeh, and maybe that's the only one, you know, where you make a bracha, frankly. The other bedikas, we do them, you know, okay, so they're l'shem siag, they're l'shem, you know, negating, you know, you know, other mechsholim or things, or they're hechsherim or whatever it is. But they're not a kiyum bifnei atzma. You could have said draw the line there. The second place to draw the line would be chametz she'avar al amot asach. A third place, that's in the other extreme, of course, and the other extreme would be lifnei, you know, shloshim yo, right? So indeed, we really do have, I'm going to have to run in 2 more minutes, but we do have discussions about all these issues, right? So, but now we just understand it better, appreciate it more. So the Lifnei Shloshim Yom is the discussion of the Ra'ah and the Ritva, right? One of the cases where the Ra'ah, where the Ritva, you know, disagrees with the Ra'ah, you know, which isn't so commonplace, frankly. The Ra'ahs, you know, what are they really arguing about? So are they arguing about, you know, what level of, you know, impact justifies a birchas hamitzvah? Does do they both agree, you know, what that there is a qualitative difference between the mitzvah bedikas chametz, you know, kodem and la'achar la'amid, because bedikas chametz as a chovas hagavra maybe only begins at shloshim yom. However, since that may all be true, but you know, in terms of accomplishing, you know, some of the more pragmatic aspects, let's say the siag of achila and keneged achila and so on, you know, that applies. You could say kodem lamed, you know, just as much as it does toch lamed. Just it's not, you know, within the framework, the practical part of it, meaning just that, you know, it's not within the framework of any kind of chovas hagavra. So the argument, they agree about that, and the argument is about, you know, how far, you know, mitzvos drabanan, you know, even with a minimum or more minimal, you know, description, you know, qualify for birchas mitzvah, or no. Maybe the Ra'ah thinks that the fact that you are returning on Pesach at some point, which is what generates an obligation even before Shloshim Yom, even longer than the Shloshim Yom, as far as that is concerned, and that maybe that's the Ikar Din Chametz, or it's at least the equivalent of Tov Shloshim Yom when you're not necessarily returning, right? So it's hard to know what the argument is about, whether it's an argument about Bedika and those two scenarios, or about the criteria. Similarly, the argument about, you know, la'achar zman, that of course, very fascinating. So, you know, we are familiar with the Shita Sarabam, right? Sibkale?
Can't say
after. What?
Too late.
Even though, toch zmano, meaning on yantif, you would make a bracha. could have drawn a line there too. Right. I'm just taking the, you know, you could have said anything but Yudala, there's no bracha. And then the other extremes are, you know, lifnei shlosh, way too early, and way too late, lachar shlosh yom. So lachar shlosh yom, the Rambam says, I'm sorry, lachar pesach. So Rambam says that you, it is too late. And the Meiri and some other Chachamim Pirlons disagree. They think that even lachar pesach, right, you make a bracha. So again, how do we assess that? Could be, again, like we said, you know, if you were to find, like, oh, the Ra'ah, you know, says even lifnei shlosh yom, and he's like the only one who says, you know, even lachar pesach. No, he doesn't, as far as I know. But then you'd say, oh, sounds like he just has a pretty expansive, you know, view of Birchas HaMitzvah. Absent that, you know, it's the same question, and you just have to keep, you know, applying it. Meaning this debate between the Rambam and the Meiri is a debate about Birchas HaMitzvah, or at least in Bidikas Chametz, you know, what component, if there are multiple components, triggers the Birchas HaMitzvah? That's the argument? Or no, the argument really is about the assessment of Chametz Sha'avar Alav HaPesach. So, as far as that, you know, second point is concerned, right, that becomes an interesting issue. There's some interesting formulations in the Nosek Kalim on the Rambam about this. Josh, you saw?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you see? Magen Mishnah, Kesa Mishnah.
Yeah, so the Magen Mishnah makes it sound like there's a difference between the nature of Bedikah on Pesach and after Pesach.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kesef Mishnah understood him as making like a pragmatic point about formulation of the bracha.
Yeah.
And then it seems like kind
of it sounds like you also agree that that may not be what the Magen Mishnah really was saying.
Right. And he's assuming it comes like a very similar conclusion that the Magen Mishnah probably is saying.
Okay, so we're going to go try to pin those down, although I'm already running late for the people next door. So let me just say the following, though, or at least, you know, wondering aloud a little bit, and that is, like, this is an interesting question to ask, lahalacha, when we say, you know, that it's a knas, that's how we paskin. But it's even an interesting question to ask, frankly, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Like, let's say we were to throw Rabbi Yehuda into the mix. Rabbi Yehuda holds that, you know, Kodem Zmano, La'achar Zmano, in addition to Tov Zmano, the separate Lav, and Malkus. So it's interesting, what would he say about Bedikas Chametz, you know, La'achar Zmano? Would that matter? You know? So I think that there could be a range, and along with this I'll stop for today, we'll pick up in Mitzvah Shem, hopefully on time, on Monday, and that is to say the following. You know, even if you're talking about the knas of la'achar, chametz shavar alav pesach, you know, things are not so simple. You could look at it very much as a pure knas. Gemara calls it a knas. Rambam, of course, quotes that it's a knas. There's no escaping that. But, you know, to what extent, you know, do we really mean, again, just like when we say siag, it's only a knas, like in the narrowest term? Or are we saying, you know, maybe the following, and that is, this is chametz, which, you know, is you violated by your bayimatze, you know, and, you know, therefore this midrabanan kind of indelibly, because of knas, like a shame chametz, you know, at least vis-a-vis, you know, the owner, you know, if not vis-a-vis others, probably vis-a-vis others as well. In other words, typically when chametz is, when chametz is over. When Pesach is over, you know, the shame chametz is over with it. Like we said many times. Like all year round, is there a shame chametz? You know, Dav Sheish Lamatirin issue, you know. It's maybe it depends on Bali Tosis and the Ramban again, you know, whether it's an Isur Zman or a Matir and an Oser, and, you know, it exists, you know, as a full Isur, and, you know, it just doesn't exist at all afterwards. You know, maybe it depends on that. But the point is that if you have chametz she'avar alav bayirah bayimatzeh, it's like, you know, a neon sign, you know, kind of. You know, so that, midrabanan, there's a chalos of chametz. There's even some evidence that maybe the Rambam holds that way. Talmud doesn't fit into this part of the bracha, but either way, that's fine, because there's still plenty of room to distinguish it from other bedikos. For example, let's say you didn't violate personally by your Abayim Matzeh. Let's say you were an onus. Right? There are a bunch of scenarios where it's chametz she'aval of Pesach, but you aren't personally, in violation of Bayirah, right? Or at least not to the point that you should be subject to a knas per se. But it's still chametz, chalos chametz she'aval of Pesach, right? That should have been, it was chametz shel Yisrael, it should have been destroyed and neutralized or whatever, and you didn't. So that's a huge machlokes. The language of the Rambam also, I'm not going to get to right now, may indicate that, there's something more than knas here. Last year, actually, and I think we made reference to this year as well, but when we were learning Chulin, because we're talking about Demai, the Tarovitz Demai, we noted that there's a huge machlokas or Rishonim. The Gemara says that if you have Tarovitz, Chalmat Shor, Pesach, that is Mutter. And the question is, does that mean Chalmetz, Shor, Pesach, Shinis, Are, Vachar, Pesach? Or does it mean that, Tarovitz, Chalmetz, is not subject to Chalmat Shor, Pesach? And if that's the case, which is more mechudash, that's, machlokas or rishonim, is that because of the nature of tarovitz chametz, or is that because of, the nature of chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach, frankly? So, meaning there are issues, even in chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach drabanan, knas kantsu rabanan, of, how much we take, how seriously we take it, as a kind of real isa. But the truth is, and it could be that that's what's going on in this question of maybe the Meiri is saying, it still has a shem chametz, and midrabanan we treat it as a kind of chametz, and therefore there's a din of bedika and there's a brach, there's a din of bedika and beer, to identify and destroy it. Whereas maybe the Rambam, even though I think he does think it's more than a knas, but not so much more, it still remains a knas sufficiently that there's no brach. But I think if there's a question to raise, and with this I conclude today, even on a Daraisa level, for Rabbi Yehuda, in that, let's remember that the Rambam, right, admittedly, that the Rambam, who paskens like Rabbi Yehuda in Kodem Zmano, right, and pretty much is the only Rishon who does, so one of the most important, attacks against him are like, why are you splitting Rav Shimon? Limadashak, if you really hold like Rav Shimon, then Paskin like him, also Lachar's motto. So the Rambam was very comfortable for some reason, right? He doesn't explicate this to distinguish between Kodim and Lachar's motto. Now, till now, I've been saying, and I stick with it, that I'm just adding a little point to it now. That part of that is because the Rambam Lashitaso, thinks, that the Lifnei Zmano has the whole infrastructure of Korban Pesach and Yom Yadalin and all the things that he totally believes are very crucial and very significant. You don't have that in Lachar Zmano. So that led the Rambam to think, that even for Rabbi Yehuda, maybe not for Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, you can paskin like Rabbi Yehuda because it's very compelling, to say what he says, that, Pesach comes early at Yom Yadalim and Chatzos, and it's Zman HaKorban Pesach because of that whole infrastructure, and the Yisur Malacha and the Chagigas Yadalim and all the things that we've been discussing, and the Yisur Shehiyah and all those things, but none of that is true for Chametz, Lahachar Zman, so don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda there. It also may be because it's Lachar Zman. Not only do you not have that whole infrastructure, but maybe there's not even a shame chametz. There's the physical chametz, but maybe it doesn't, outside of the world of Beit HaMikdash, maybe this doesn't register in any legal way, as being significant in any sense. That's an additional point. So just to add to that, something that we discussed when we discussed it, and that is that, right, even within Rabbi Yehuda itself, there's a debate among the Rishonim, it seemed to be implicitly, regarding Yisra'ana. Right. So Bali Tosis of Kav Kesef Beis say, that, you know, chametz, you know, konem zmano for Rabbi Yehuda. They ask the question, why is it asur b'hanah? That's according to Chizkiyah. Lo yachel is not that pasuk. They say, oh, it's all nigrar, you know, it's a three lob and they're all the same. Of course, that's a huge, you know, assumption. If you think that the point of Rabbi Yehuda is that Pesach comes early, you know, then the idea that it's lock, stock, and barrel, you know, is reasonable, not mukrach, but reasonable. But what's interesting is that when Tosis asked the question about Toh Kizmano on Chav Chesem Adeis, I mentioned, number one, the Chachmei Anglia disagree regarding, you know, Kodem Zmano, not Toh Kizmano. But what's interesting is that if you look at the various versions of Tosis, our Tosis versus Tosis Rash, Mishans, and Tosis Ben Peretz, did Tosis also ask the question about Rabbi Yehuda's Chametz L'Achar Zmano? Meaning, not only did Rambam feel comfortable to distinguish between Kodem and L'Achar Zmano, you know, which is a paskening, splitting Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, but it's possible that some Rishonim understood that even if there's Isurei Hana for Rabbi Yehuda and Kodem Zmano, even for Rabbi Yehuda, there's no Isurei Hana in L'Achar Zmano. Again, some of the formulations in Tosis assume they're the same and assume that the answer is the same. Some of them don't ask the question. And again, if the point of Rabbi Yehuda is based on, you know, take the Rambam, just apply this principle, is based on the infrastructure of Yom Nidalin and Shemcha, minimum Shemchametz, then you could say, you know what, Rabbi Yehuda is also Machmir and thinks that, you know, the Knas of Chametz L'Achar Pesach is Daraisa. But it's still a Knas. Now again, is it a Knas, but there's a Shem Chametz L'Inyan there, but, you know, there's no other Chametz that's Asur. Maybe that's enough. To say, oh, it's not Asur B'Hana. Right? Or no. Maybe he holds it's a Knas Gamor, like in a Stiknas. And it's not even like, oh, there's a Shem Chametz L'Gabe, you know, this particular violation. But either way, the discussion about the Rambam's, you know, splitting the Psak, and the discussion about maybe even Rabbi Yehuda himself making important distinctions. For example, we talked about, you know, for Rabbi Yehuda, Kodem Zmano, what about, you know, what about the Pasuk or some sort of, you know, Ksiruf Shior, you know, between the Chametz Lifnei Zmano and Toh Kizmano, you know, for the lower Onesh, to get Malkus, not to get Karis. Let's say in Chatzis Eis of Chametz Lifnei Zmano, and then, you know, you finished it, you know, Toh Kizmano. Or let's say you use the wrong Pasuk. Right? Minchas Chinuch issues. So let's say you have the same thing for Chametz L'Achar Zmano for Rabbi Yehuda. Is it possible that you'd say that Lifnei Zmano, you can use the Hasra, Lifnei Zmano, you can have the Tziruf, Lagabi Malkus, but not L'Achar Zmano? I think the answer is maybe yes. Right? So for that very reason, you might distinguish with regard to Yisra'ana, and you also might distinguish with regard to the Bracha. So that it wouldn't only be, you know, because of Knas, it just might be because of the whole nature of what Chametz L'Achar Zmano is. So what I'm trying to say is that even if you hold like Rav Shimon and it's a Knas, we can justify the position of the Meiri, that there's a Bracha, even if we don't say almost anything goes in Hilchos Birchas HaMitzvah, by saying that Chametz Avar Lema Pesach is more substantial than you think. Ironically, there's some evidence for that even in the Rambam, although not Legabe the Bracha. And even if you were to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a Din D'Oraisa, there is good reason to think that there's a distinction between Kodem Zmano and L'Achar Zmano, and that that would have, you know, nafkamina, you know, for a whole bunch of things that I just mentioned, including Birchas HaMitzvah. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about, you know, some of the other cases, and just let me kind of accentuate that a little more in terms of other nafkaminas like, you know, Hefsek and, you know, the Nusach HaBracha. We'll talk just for a couple more minutes about that on Monday, and mostly we want to turn to the nature of Birchas Mitzvah vis-a-vis other brachos, Nen and Shavach, and then start to speak about some of the criteria. Okay? And then we'll try to finish up with this topic and move to the Sveikos issues on Naftas and Nafyat. Okay, so Monday is at 1 o'clock.